this morning. We're happy to see everybody and happy you're here. And as we jump in and get started, I would like to just jump in and show you some pictures of our little boy. Is that okay? That's what I want to talk about this morning. So let's put a picture of him up here. This is our first little boy. His name is Bear. We call him Bear Cub because he stands about this tall. He's a short little guy. We adopted him, 2 years ago now almost, a year and a half ago? And he is a sweetheart. He just immediately came in. We had just moved into a new home, just recently married, moved into a newly built house. And to be honest, our house didn't really feel like home. It just felt like a place that we were staying for now. It's so new. None of the stuff in it is familiar. And when he came in, he really helped a lot to make it home. And of course, now we have Lincoln. He's also our little boy, but this was our first little boy. He was our first baby that we had a responsibility to take care of and come home and feed him, make sure he has everything he needs. And we learned over time that he is an incredibly sensitive little puppy. He is allergic to everything. He's allergic to everything. He can't have almost any protein. No chicken, no turkey, no pork, no whatever. Whatever you want to think of, beef, he can't have it. He's allergic to it. He's allergic to dairy, so no milk, no cheese. He's allergic to grass, so just going outside bothers him. He is a sensitive little boy. But he loves all of those things. He loves chicken. If you give him a chicken nugget, he will destroy it. He loves chicken. He loves hamburgers. He loves cheese. All the things that he can't have, he really, really likes them. And we did eventually find some things that he can have. He can have salmon. He can have fish, completely fish. But you have no idea how hard it is to find a dog food that only has salmon as the protein. It might have it as the first ingredient, but read a few, and they all have chicken byproduct, beef byproducts, some kind of dairy. There's something in there that he can't have. And eventually we did, thankfully, find something that he can eat. But when he does eat these things, it destroys him to the point where he is scratching and itching. Just recently, we still don't really know what he got into, but he had both sides of his face scratched with great big scabs, about that big, on both sides of his face, and they were bleeding because he was just scratching them so hard. And thankfully, we've got that resolved, and he's doing just fine now. But we did finally find him a dog bone that he can have. Yeah, we'll just leave it on there for now. We found a dog bone that he can have, that he can chew on, and he was so excited about that because for a long time, we fed him dog bones that he couldn't have. We just didn't know it at the time. So we're giving him this bone that's made out of chicken, or it's made out of beef, or even flavored after bacon. Destroys him. It can't. It can't have anything in it. So when we found this thing, he was so excited because he had gone, after we learned he was allergic to them, we took them all away. So he had nothing. For a long time, we fed him green beans and cucumbers and tomatoes, and he likes those too, but it's not the same as a bone. Imagine a dog who doesn't have a bone. It just, he wasn't the same if he didn't have his dog bone. So finally, we found one, and when he got it, he was so happy. So that he could take it over in the corner and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it, and it doesn't go away. And he just continues to, we laughed. We would elbow each other and point at him because he would be in the corner and he would just be growling really low, just as he's going to town on this bone. And he would turn it over and over in his paws and hoard it in close. And if you went anywhere near it, he would snatch it up and run to the other side. This is his bone and you can't have it. Sometimes he would leave it. He would hide it. He puts it under the kitchen table and then he would go wander through the house. But he will be back. He will come back and get it. He might leave it, but he never leaves it for long. He comes right back to it, and he's chewing on it again. And it's to the point where he was, we've gone through several of these bones now, but he was like emotionally invested into these things because he wants them so bad. Anyway, remember our dog, Bear. We'll come back to him. Before you can understand what I'm about to tell you about him, you need to understand this. They're unrelated, but they'll make sense in a minute. Does anybody in here drink tea? I know John drinks tea. We've talked about it before. Yeah, okay, good. What about hot tea? Not as many, but a few, okay? I used to work at Starbucks. I don't know if you know that or not. They're known for their coffee, but they also sell tea, pretty high-quality tea. Like they had Tazo tea, and now they sell Teavana, and they're expensive teas, and I've never really been a hot tea. I got cold sweet tea, but I've never really been a big hot tea drinker. But when I was working at Starbucks, I thought, yeah, why not? They're here. They're here. You can try all of them. I'm sure you can find one you like. And you all know the process. You know how tea works. You take it, and you fill a cup with hot water. You put your tea bag in it. And then what do you do? Nothing. Yeah. You just wait. You just let it sit. I did not know this because I didn't drink tea. So I put the tea bag in it. I set it down. And I don't know. I turned and did something. I came right back and took a drink of it. And it's just hot water. Nothing. It smelled. I could smell it. I could smell the tea bag, but it's just hot water. That's not good. It doesn't taste good. There's nothing good about it. So I let it sit. And at that point, you know, I was sipping on it, and I thought, well, it's still not my favorite, but we'll keep trying. And I let it sit to the point that now it's cold, and I didn't realize that. I had been working and just going back and forth to my drink, and I picked it up cold and took a drink of it. And now it's not good again. It has to be hot, and it also has to have time to sit and soak. You understand that? You know, how tea works? I know you do. So the reason that I'm mentioning tea is because this has been used as an example for meditation for years. In fact, if you've seen any popular karate movie, they're drinking tea in some scene, because it has to do with your meditation. The example can be put together as your meditation. And the reason is because of this. The only reason that tea is drinkable is because the hot water takes time to sit there and soak in whatever's in that tea bag. So you can take your hot water, and you might have 15 different flavors of tea, but you can pick any one you want. You drop it in the water and just wait. And that water will become whatever you put in it. It will be that. In just a few minutes, you will no longer have a cup of hot water. You will have a cup of whatever you just put into the water. That works with anything. And Josh and I have talked about it some. We used to camp a lot, and I wanted coffee so bad I couldn't stand it, but I can't bring an electric coffee pot. So I learned that you can put just straight coffee grounds and some hot water and let it sit. And eventually, all those coffee grounds will settle to the bottom, and you've got a cup of coffee, and you can drink it. It's pretty good. I think it's better than a brewed cup of coffee, actually. It's really strong. It's good. But the point is, no matter what, you can put pine needles in it. It doesn't matter. In a few minutes after it sits hot, it will taste like, it will become whatever you put inside of it. It's infused with this thing. So the reason this works so well for an example of meditation is because if we consider ourselves to be the hot water and the Word of God to be the tea bag, I think you can start to make a correlation here. And you can say, there are many things that you can choose, the Word of God being one of them, but there are many options. Hopefully, you're choosing the Word of God and not something else. But no matter what you take, if you're the hot water and you put it in there and it sits, it will become whatever you put in it. Does that make sense? Do you all understand that? So I looked up this word meditation. The Hebrew word for meditate is haga, H-A-G-A. It's very simple, haga. We know what meditate means. It means to think or to ponder. Very simple. Meditate is to think on something, to ponder something, to keep it in your mind. But it also means these three words, which kind of caught me off guard. It means to growl, to purr, or to groan. That was interesting to me, that meditate can mean a soft growl or purr. But it made much more sense to me when I started thinking about this. I thought about our little dog and his bone. and how he would take this thing over in the corner and just start chewing on it. Now, he's not chewing on it like he's trying to destroy the thing. He's not. It's not a destructive kind of chewing. He's just chewing on it. He's just moving it around in his teeth. He's biting on it here and there, rolling it over in his paws. And like I told you, he would have this low growl sometimes when he's really getting down. He would rub his face on it. And he's really getting in there. And as I started thinking about this, I was reminded of my dad. Because I've had my dad call me before or meet me at breakfast or we would meet up at his house or wherever. And he would say something along the lines of, "Let me show you something I've been chewing on." And he would open his Bible up and lay it out and start. And I understood that. When I read that definition, that meditate can also mean to growl or a soft purr or those. I started to put these things together. And I said, okay, I get it now. Because I've heard my dad say, "I've been chewing on this." Or I've heard him say, "I will chew on this and I'll get back to you on it." Which means I'm just going to hold it for a while. I'm going to savor it for a minute. You've eaten before so fast that you eat and you didn't really even taste your food. I'm sure. I know I do that more often than I should. But sometimes you have foods like steak or like a beef jerky or something that doesn't just meat. It doesn't chew so fast. And you can chew it for a minute and you really start to taste it. Maybe you chew it on this side for a minute and then you push it over to the other side for a minute. And you understand. You understand the concept of what we're talking about, this concept of meditation. I like that. I like this because, as I said, I could put these things together and I could start to understand how all of these things work. And the Bible says in Psalms 38:4, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And I thought that's fantastic. I get it. Chew on it for a minute. Taste it. Don't be so fast. Don't be in such a hurry that you can't even taste it. Slow down. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you would, you can open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're in a new series, or continuing the series, actually. We just started it last week, called What's Next? We're talking about what's next after you get saved. After you give your life to Jesus, after you've made a commitment to follow him, what do you do? What's next? Last week, we talked about following Jesus. We talked about how the term, the word follow, and the word disciple actually mean the same thing is apprentice, or to be an apprentice. They mean the same thing. So if you are a follower, you are an apprentice. And if you are a disciple, you are an apprentice. So we put those things together, and this week we're going to talk about meditation. That's the word of the day. Last week we talked about follow. Today is meditate. So if you would, like we said, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible is very clear throughout Old Testament and New. The Bible is very clear that this practice of meditation is not merely a suggestion. It doesn't say, if you have an opportunity, maybe you should do this. Or, here's a few options, you can pick this one if you like it. It's very clear and it's worded in such a way that these are commands. Meditate. And it says, on multiple places, meditate all the time, day and night, meditate. Keep these things on your mind all the time. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. So let's look here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. I only have one verse and it's up on the screen. "But we, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." You can be seated. I'll read it to you one more time so that we understand it here. Paul writes, "But we all, with an unveiled face." That word unveiled means uncovered. There's nothing keeping you from looking into the mirror. There's nothing in front of you. There's nothing obstructing your view. "With a clear face, you're looking as if in a mirror at the glory of the Lord." Anybody look in a mirror this morning? You go in and you look at it. Probably you don't just glance at it and walk away. You're probably there for a minute most of the time. You're there for a few minutes anyway. So he's saying you come in and you're looking as if in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, as you are looking at it, you begin to be transformed into the same image. So you become what you're looking at. The mirror is not actually there. That's a metaphor. We can take this out and just say beholding the glory of the Lord. Looking at the glory of the Lord. That doesn't do any harm to Scripture. It means the same thing. So you're looking at the glory of the Lord, and then you are becoming the same thing. The reason the mirror is in there is because what you're looking at should be you. You guys know how a mirror works. Whatever you're looking at is a reflection. So it's saying you should be standing here looking at the glory of the Lord, which means you should be looking like the glory of the Lord. Does that make sense? You put this together that you see the same thing back and forth. Our goal as Christians is to be like Christ. So you should see him when you look at yourself. When you look at your actions and your deeds, you should see him. So Paul is explaining a supernatural law here as he moves forward. He's saying, as you gaze upon the Lord, you're transformed into the same image. A supernatural law is very much like our natural laws that we have here. And the example that my dad has used a million times is the law of gravity. And he says, okay, if I take this Kleenex box and I turn loose of it, what will happen? It will fall. Okay, what can I do to change that from happening? What if I turn around backwards where you can't see it? It's still going to fall. If I take it in another room, if I take it to another state, if I take it to the other side of the world, when I turn loose of this Kleenex box, it's going to fall. There's nothing that can be done that will keep this from happening. Nothing that can be done that will stop gravity from being a thing. It will always be a thing. This law that Paul is talking about is the same kind of law. We're not talking about government law. We're talking about an unbreakable natural law, except this is a supernatural law. And he says, whatever you're looking at, you will become. Whatever you focus on will grow inside of you, and whatever grows inside of you, you will become like it. You will. No matter what you choose, just as we talked about our tea bags, I can choose any flavor that I want, and when I put it in there, within just a few minutes, it will be that. So the focus that he's making here is upon meditation. And he's saying the things you allow to soak in your mind will be the things that grow inside of you, and they will transform you into that thing. The important thing to understand, and it's a good thing and a bad thing depending on individual decisions, but that law is correct no matter what you use. So for example, if you choose to focus on the wrong things, unfortunately, you will become the wrong things. If you choose to focus on Jesus, you should become like Jesus. If you choose to focus on sin, what will you become? More sinful. If sinful things are constantly on your mind, if that's what you think about, if that's what you meditate on, you will become more sinful. It's very simple to understand. What if you only think about the biblical law? That sounds good because you're thinking about the Bible. But if all you think about is the law, the rules and the do's and the don'ts, you're going to become more legalistic. That's what's going to happen. You're going to leave out grace, and you're just going to think constantly about, you're probably going to become judgmental. You're going to look at people, and you're going to be judgy, and you're going to think that you earned your salvation. That's incorrect. What if you think about your inability to keep the law? And you're constantly thinking about how weak and lowly you are and how difficult it is to keep this law, and I can't do it. Guilt. You're going to be condemned all the time. Whatever is constantly in your mind is the thing that you will become. So what should we do? Think on Jesus. That's what Paul said. He said, looking at the glory of the Lord, gazing upon the glory of the Lord, and becoming that thing. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, he says, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That phrase, fix your eyes, I looked that up. In Webster's Dictionary, that's the definition. It means to gaze upon steadily, to look intently, to stare at, or to meditate upon. These verses go together in my mind, they fit together. So he says, if we take out this fix your eyes section and replace it with a definition, it says the same thing. Gaze steadily upon Jesus. Look intently at Jesus. Stare at Jesus. Meditate upon him. These are the things that Paul is saying that we are to do within our mind. Why? Because of the law that he just mentioned, whatever you focus on will grow inside of you. And whatever grows inside of you, you will become. You will mirror that thing. You cannot consistently think on something and live in a different way. You might fake it for a time, but you cannot do it. It cannot be upheld. You cannot sustain that thing. You will be the thing that's constantly upon your mind. So the question is, what does that mean for us? What does that look like? We've talked about meditation. We understand what we're supposed to do. But the question you might be having is, well, how on earth am I supposed to do that? What does that mean? That sounds great. How? What do you want from me? So if you're like me, you're busy all the time. And your question might be, how am I supposed to meditate on something when I'm just busy all the time, when I'm running all the time? Josh mentioned it in Sunday school, and he's 100% correct, that you have other things to do during the day. You have other things. You got to go to work. You got to think. You can't think about Scripture 24/7 because you have to do math, or you have to write an email, or you have to think about whatever you're figuring. And you can't have one singular thing on your mind all day, but the goal should be that your resting place is back to Scripture. So, yes, you may leave to figure a number, to write an email, to have a conversation, to do whatever needs to be done presently in front of you, but as soon as your mind is done working on that thing, the resting point should immediately reset back to Scripture. You should be meditating on these things. So meditation, when we hear that word, we often think of the Eastern side of the world, the word meditate, where we think of people sitting cross-legged on a pillow with maybe their eyes rolled back in their head, and they sit there for 4 hours and don't move. That's not meditation. I don't have time to do that. That's not meditation. That's not what I'm talking about. And a lot of times when we hear the word meditate, we think clear your mind. Remove things from your mind. Have an empty state of mind. That's baloney. Don't do that. That's dangerous, actually. If you take everything out of your mind, there's so much room for the wrong things to come flying in. In Christian meditation, you fill it to the brim intently with Jesus. You pick scriptures, you pick songs, you listen to preaching, messages, anything that you want to meditate on, and you cram it in there, and you constantly mull it over in your mind over and over and over again. So meditation is simply this. It is to read a short passage of Scripture and think about each word or phrase. So, for example, let's say you're going to meditate an entire chapter of Scripture. You're probably not going to do that today. If you're meditating correctly, you're probably not going to meditate an entire chapter or an entire book in a day. You might meditate a concept. That's okay. But really, meditation is to take something in and really think about it and keep it on your mind all throughout the day, no matter how you need to do that. So we're not talking about 30 minutes worth of Bible study or 4 hours worth of Bible. If you have time to do that and you sit in your office and study for 4 hours, good for you. That's fantastic. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about all day long. When you leave, when you go to work, when you go out, wherever you're going, constantly, this should be your returning place. So if you have to write it on a post-it note, if you have to write it on a notepad, I keep a notepad in my pocket all the time for just such occasions. There's things written in here that I don't want to forget about versus things that I feel like God's telling me, things that I don't want to forget. And throughout the day, I'll flip it open and look at it and put it right back in my pocket and move on. Sometimes I don't remember and I'll think, am I remembering that correctly? And I'll look at it and say yes or no, fix it, and move on again. But the concept, the important thing to remember is that what we're doing is we're having this constant process of keeping the things of God fresh on our mind. So meditation is to consider what this passage means, what is God saying, and then how do you intend to apply it to your life. It does no good to think about something unless you're going to act on it. So you can think about verses of Scripture all day long, but unless it's changing something, it doesn't do any good. Over time, it will change something. If you continually think on the Word of God, it will change. But you should also be actively thinking, what does this mean to me? How does this change my life? How does this change what I'm doing at any given point in time? And so many people miss the mark because they only read and they don't meditate. Meditation is important. It's not reading only. It's feeding. It's digesting. It's being like my dog with his bone and saying, I'm just going to hold on to this for a while. I'm just going to chew on this for a minute. I'm just going to hold it. And I might set it down and go work on something, but I'm going to come right back to it. And I'm going to pick it back up again and continue chewing on this thing and savoring it and understanding it. One commentator that I was reading referenced it to a cow chewing its cud. And it says, are they chewing cud constantly? Yeah, pretty much. They might stop for a short time, but they'll be right back, and they'll start chewing on it again. And they're just keeping this thing and mulling it over continually, over and over and over again. So a daily habit of meditating on the Word of God will 100% change your life. And I have just a few verses that I would like to look at. There are countless verses of Scripture that talk about meditation. These are a few of my favorites. The first one is in the book of Joshua. This is a command. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night. Notice it does say law, but if you look at translation, he's talking about Scripture, not only law. The actual word there is Scripture as a whole. So Scripture will not leave your mouth. It will constantly be on your mind and things that you're talking about in your conversation, and you will meditate on it day and night. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1, David says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. You see a pattern emerging? We're meditating and we're thinking constantly, day and night. In Philippians 4, Paul writes, and he says, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report of virtue, if there's anything that's worth praise, think about these things. So don't take sinful things. Don't take negative things. He's talking about find something in the Word that is good and wholesome and lovely and pure and just, and think about these things. Meditate on this through, I guarantee you, it will change your life. Your entire outlook on everything will change if you can continue this. This is another one of my favorite verses. Most people probably wouldn't look at this and think of it as a meditation verse, but I do. And he says, in Acts 26, Paul says, he's talking to King Agrippa, and he says, King Agrippa, I think myself happy. I love that. He says, I thought within my mind, and I thought to the point that I made myself happy. So was he thinking about negative things? No. He has to be thinking about happy things. He says, within my own mind, I can think myself happy. Have you ever thought yourself happy? I have. I do it all the time. Have you ever thought yourself angry? Yeah. I was talking to Brittany this morning. I was telling her this thing. I've thought myself depressed. I've thought myself angry. I've thought myself any emotion you can think of, but my favorite is when I can think myself happy. That's so much better. David said that he would encourage himself in the Lord because there's not always somebody there to encourage you. Sometimes you have to think your own self happy. You have to meditate on things until they start to change your attitude and change your mindset. Because as we talked about in Sunday school, again, the battlefield is in your mind. If you can have control over that, and you are in charge of what's in your mind and what you're thinking about, you can win. You can win, you can win, you can win if you can just hold on to this and control it. I didn't put it on here, but as we're closing, I'll go through the book of Psalms chapter number 1. We put one verse on here. But as he continues writing, I believe it's verse number 3. David starts to compare what does a man look like who meditates on the Lord day and night? In verse 2, he said his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. And in verse number 3, he says, and he will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. And he says, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. He's comparing this to somebody who meditates on the Word of God. Somebody who meditates, he says, you would be like a tree that's planted by the river. That means even in a drought, you're still getting fed. If you're meditating on the Word of God and you're in a place in your life where it feels like God is hard to find, when he's just not listening, you can't get through to him, there's still little times when you'll get a refreshing because you're like a tree that's planted by the water if you're consistently meditating on God. It may seem sometimes like God is not chasing you down, but that means you're chasing him down. And you're saying, I'm coming no matter what. I'm coming and I'm meditating over and over. And he says he would be fruitful. See our signs on both sides. Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. These are fruits of the Spirit. These are the kinds of things that will start to become evident in your life to everybody. We've made the statement 100 times. If I don't spend time with the Lord today, I will know it. And if I don't spend time with the Lord for 2 days in a row, you will all know it. Because I'm not the same person anymore. I lose these things. There's nothing good inside of Aaron. Jesus is the only thing good that's in here. I know that for a fact. So I have to keep him in here. I have to do that. I have to meditate and think constantly so that I can have these fruits of the Spirit operating in my life. He says that he would be this. Have you thought of what a tree looks like that's planted by the river? It's big and it's strong, and a storm can come through if it wants to, but that tree's not going anywhere. So we get pushed around by storms sometimes. Sometimes life storms come through, and we say, man, I just wasn't. It can uproot us, and it can turn us over. But if you have the Word of God within you, and you're constantly meditating on it, and that's what's in your mind, it speaks to this idea of stability, that you're stable within your emotions, you're stable in your ministry, in your marriage, in your career, in your life. There's this idea of strong stability. Miss Rhonda, if you would, go back to the music, please. So the idea of what we're talking about and the whole concept that I want you to take with you as you leave today. This, if you nothing else, if you can't remember anything else, please remember this. Whatever you focus on a continual basis, will start to grow inside of you. It will take root and it will begin to grow. And whatever is growing in here, you will become. You will be that, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Whether it's godly or whether it's worldly, wholesome, negative, no matter what, whatever you focus on will grow and you will become that thing. So my question is, will you make a commitment today and say, God, I promise I will make a commitment with my mind that I will meditate on the Word of God from here on out. Like we said, if you have to write it on post-it notes and put them all through your house and over your speedometer and on your refrigerator and on your desk at work, that's great. Put them everywhere, constantly coming back to them and a constant reminder. If you need this notebook is 88 cents at Walmart. They come in all different colors. If you would like to carry one of those, you can keep a bunch of them. And you can see, what was I thinking about 3 weeks ago? And flip through here and see it. And it's just, no matter what you need to do personally, make a commitment that you will train your mind that meditating on the Word of God is default. It will not wander other places if that becomes the default. We're talking about somebody who is not reading only, but somebody who is meditating and pondering all day long. Like a dog chews on a bone, or like hot water soaks up tea. Whatever has to be done, just so you can put it all together. Pray with us. Anybody who would, please come into the altars. You're welcome. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for the challenge and the opportunity, God, that we've been presented with, that we can meditate on your word constantly, day and night. God, I thank you for teaching us the correct way and the right way, God, that we are to follow you and the things that would change our lives for you forever. And I ask, God, that you would teach every one of us the process, God, of meditation. Teach us, God, that our default setting within our mind would be to come back to your word. No matter what passage we happen to be reading or studying at the time, that it would just come back to our mind throughout the day, that we could savor it, God, like David wrote, that we could taste and see that the Lord is good. And in doing so, God, that you would help make us stable like that tree planted by the water, or that you would continue, God, to help us be fruitful in our fruits of the Spirit, that we could be obviously different than the world around us. And we know 100% that it's nothing based in our own ability, but it's completely because that you've done a transformation within us. In the name of Jesus, I pray you would help us to understand that no matter what we put inside of us, it will grow and we will become it, and that the only acceptable thing to put inside of us is you, that we would fill our mind and fill our hearts with your word, and that we would become more like you with every day of our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what are you supposed to do after you give your life to Jesus? Last week we said, step one, start following. That's what the disciples did. He gave them a command and said, follow me. And they dropped everything and started following him. So he may have come to you and said, Brian, Marlene, Gabby, Mike, follow me. I'm calling you. Today is your day. Come with me. Give your life to me. Follow me. And then at that point, you have a decision to make. Hopefully, we make a decision like the disciples and say, yes, Lord, I will do. I will drop everything, and I'm coming, and I'm following, and I'm growing, and I'm learning, and I'm becoming your apprentice, and I will learn the right way to live. As you're following, it's not a complete one step at a time. These all happen together. So as you're following, you should begin the process of meditation. Dig out scriptures every morning. Read them. Find them on your phone. There's apps all over the place. There's verse of the day. If you don't know what to find, a verse of the day app is fantastic. It'll give you one. Think about that all day long. Whatever you need to do to meditate upon the Word of God throughout the day. And I guarantee you, as you go through this process, that your life will change and you will no longer be the same person you've always been. It is a transformation process that takes place. So thank you again.